This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey, this is Joe.
And I'm Kate.
Today we talk about, what the fuck are we talking about?
Music, dragons, and not drinking the Kool-Aid. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. Today we have two guests.
We have Andrew Resnick here.
Hello.
And Rosebud Baker.
Very good voice.
I've been told I have a good radio voice.
Oh my God, Andrew. I didn't even know.
Holy shit.
I know.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
He was holding back. And all of a sudden he was like, hello.
He's like a 1 a.m. radio host. How you doing out there?
Yeah, smooth listening.
Yeah.
Like with old 80s love songs. Power ballads.
There you go.
We're going to play some Barry Manilow in a few minutes.
Can you say that?
This one goes out to Sarah. You're better than Jim.
You're better than Jim.
Yeah.
Can you say this one goes out to Kate? You're better than.
No, okay. Anyway. I'm ready.
And by the way, Andrew, he's a composer. Is that the right conductor?
Both, but I'm a professional conductor right now.
There we go.
So the other one.
For the King and I. Yeah. The other one. So
you were completely wrong.
So you were wrong.
I like how he's like both, but no.
Yes, for the King and I, which is at Lincoln Center right now.
Dope. That was sick. I just have a ton of questions.
Please.
And they're all going to sound disrespectful.
I have one. I just have one.
I like how Rosebud's like, yeah, anyway.
I did know. Can I ask one?
Yeah.
How much money do you make?
See,
the worst one.
I just need to know that.
Right.
If you want to give ballparks. Are you rich?
I'm not rich.
Did you bring your taxes?
Yes, but I don't feel comfortable sharing them.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
There goes my question.
I feel comfortable giving a ballpark, but you can actually find it online because being a conductor or working on Broadway, it's all part of the local 802 union, mm-hmm. and they post their wages online. So you can actually see what a musician might make on Broadway. I still won't reveal it just for whatever reason, but... Yeah.
I thought you would and also pull your dick out at the same time. You know what I mean? I thought you might just do both.
I could do both, but I like to leave a little mystery.
I was just curious, like...
Yeah.
He has a W-2 and his
just
dick.
Just for, I mean...
I write my yearly salary.
Do you send your dick pics next to your W-2?
That's actually all my Tinder profile.
For people who are mildly stupid, like myself, and I'm sure most of my friends that I have, you are the guy in front of the orchestra...
Correct.
...with the wand...
The magic wand.
The magic wand is
what
the
is it called?
Term.
Baton?
It's a baton, yes.
Baton. I wanted to say that, but I was like...
I know, I saw you wanted to.
I was like, wand.
Wand is more fun.
Wand is fun.
It is.
Just, you know, Harry Potter, I don't know, it was whatever. Great movies.
Yeah.
So what exactly is your job? You keep the orchestra on track?
Yeah, more or less, and I keep them working with the singers and keep it all... kind of as one, keep the singers with the orchestra, keep the orchestra with the singers, keep the orchestra from overpowering the singers, looking mad at the orchestra when they play a wrong note.
Whoa.
Like that.
You're like the disciplinarian of the
King and
I. So,
like, how does it go? Like, the higher your hand are, the higher they should play?
Can you do some hands for us real quick?
Yeah, I wish the audience could see.
Well, we know we get videotape.
Okay, we have video. Wonderful.
Right.
So, normally before a song starts, I have both hands up in a ready position, and then I'll give a prep. And then I land, and then the orchestra is supposed to land with me.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
okay.
So let's say if I'm starting...
Closer to the mic.
So if I'm starting, let's say, the famous song, Whistle a Happy Tune, my hands would be up like this, and then they would kind of move like this in order to...
That's beautiful.
So they land when you...
The orchestra lands when I land. Sometimes they land a little after I land, which is fancier, but yeah. Now we're getting into details.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, right.
Please. Since is this about my paycheck again?
No.
Let me ask you this.
It is sexual in nature.
Yes.
So since you have to keep people from giving each other dirty looks, can you tell who in your orchestra is fucking each other? And do you ever make a thing? Are you ever
No.
You know what I mean? Just give them a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's never happened.
You know, I was going to guess and say that has never happened at all.
Yeah.
Worth a shot. What, like, mu- Well, I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure musicians. Oh, I'm sure.
No, but you can definitely pick up on
tuba's banging the
dynamics.
Violin. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if those two things are.
Tuba's banging the violin.
I don't even know.
And
if
you
those
know,
two
tuba would bang a violinist. You know what I mean?
Or maybe the violinist could bang the shit out of the tubaist.
Okay.
Yeah. The tubist.
There you go.
Tubist? Is that what it is?
No,
that feels
but
ridiculous.
From now on, it is
tubist.
The tubist.
Yeah, we have a wonderful tubist, hey, tubist. In our pit.
What's your favorite instrument?
Well, I'm a pianist, and
ooh,
so
I play piano,
drums, I would say, is
like
my favorite.
Very loosely.
Oh, yeah, very loosely. for me, I enjoy playing drums the most. I think it's so
Andrew,
fun.
I love picturing you just rocking the fuck out with
yeah,
drums. Seriously, that makes me so
happy. Honestly,
I've
never had more fun playing music than playing drums in a rock band in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I played drums
yeah?
for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the most fun I've ever had in my
amazing.
Life. It feels very primal.
Yeah.
I hate to, I don't know. Drumming. I have pizza and I get very sexual. So that's
okay.
what happened. I had pizza before the podcast. Now everything feels sexual. But
note
yeah.
to self, feed her pizza.
Feed me pizza before you fuck me with your energy dick. Anyway, no, but it is the greatest instrument ever.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Piano is amazing also. And in our orchestra, we actually have 29 musicians, which is
holy shit
huge for a Broadway
yeah.
pit. Most
well,
of
the King and I is a big production.
Yeah,
29.
It's huge. Yeah,
good lord.
I know.
Damn, I want to know your paycheck.
Why does that matter?
I don't know. I'm just so curious.
I'm just curious about like
you
how
know, I'm curious though. What's behind the curiosity?
Because right. okay, this is what it is. You, in my eyes, you could tell me you make $500,000 and I'd be like, that makes sense. Or you could say I make 40 and I'd be like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in New York City especially, you could have this really big responsibility type of job and still make nothing. Or you could make something where I could just be like you could take, like I could come see your place and I could be like, you're in a mansion. You know, like
yeah.
I just have literally no idea
right.
how much you make.
And I like that. That you just
so
don't
do
know
I.
at all.
Yeah.
Mystery.
Yeah. He does it for free, actually.
Yeah.
It's a volunteer
yeah.
spot.
I pay
and,
to do it.
He crawls out of his cardboard box
yeah, exactly.
and he's, conducts it.
There's
and
a $20 fee to stand up there.
Yes, actually, when I say Lincoln Center, I mean my apartment.
Right, right, right.
It's just me exactly. going through the King and I 8 times a week on my own.
That's awesome.
I'm just, how the fuck do you control 20, 28, 29?
29, yeah. It's,
God damn
it. I mean, it is a craft, so you know it is a thing that you learn how to do.
When did you start doing this?
I started conducting in college. I took a class when I was a sophomore, and then I ended up conducting a musical at the end of that year, and I had no idea what I was doing,
yeah.
and I pretty much learned by doing it. And I found it's really easy to be a shitty conductor and to like make things seem relatively smooth, but to actually be good and to control nuance of sound and
you have to have a good ear for that.
You do, yeah. And I, you know, I'm still. There are some conductors who can really like, you know, there can be 70 players and say, you know, the second clarinetist they should be a D and not a D sharp, or you're just, you know, and that's way beyond
that's
me.
That's absurd.
But you know, as you do more and more, you do start to tune in on different aspects of the sound and texture and things like that.
So I'm assuming that makes you better at drums and piano if you have to be so
yeah.
like you have such a good ear. Like, can you like hear a song and like kind of loosely play it on
yeah,
the piano?
Yeah, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. See, one of my friends is like that. He plays guitar,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, can you play this song? He's like, I've never heard that song. And then I'll put it up on YouTube and he'll hear it and be like, oh, and he just fucks him. He plays it. I'm like, yo, you got to be kidding me.
I just want to bring
Man.
Up that your voice cracked in the middle of a sentence.
It did. I'm still growing.
Just because I feel
everyone.
Like we should. I love it. We
I'm still
pass
growing.
Over it.
No. I'm still growing.
Passover.
And, that needs to be. Yeah,
yes.
sure.
Oh,
next week.
Oh, yeah. Atoning. What is that? Atoning for our sins?
What?
Is that
I'm not
over?
Jewish.
Aren't
you Jewish?
Kate Wolf, the worst Jew. Ever.
I mean, like, to some degree, like, every Jewish holiday is thinking about what you've done wrong, but not this one in particular.
What's
this
Passover?
This is the leaving from Egypt, celebrating the Exodus.
Oh,
we were slaves,
guys.
And we are no longer slaves.
Well, we're... Okay, so first of all, let's get into it. So Andrew and I are in the same, that same spiritual school, Society of Souls.
Right.
And he's my healing partner. So once a week, we do a phone call. He listens... To
I just
my,
feel bad for this
my
guy.
Meltdowns. Fuck you.
He's laughing. Look at him.
No, Andrew.
Yes. Sorry.
And I listen to Andrew, okay? Maybe he listens to me a little bit more.
I listen.
Yeah. And then we do healing exchanges because we're learning these healings. But anyway, we were having a conversation about, you were talking to me about the whole like trip through Egypt and
yes.
how it's actually very significant of the journey of like you're walking through this desert to get to? You describe it. You're going to say it way more beautifully.
Well, I want to preface it by saying I don't really know what I'm talking about. So okay. let's start there. But from what I do understand, Egypt is on some level symbolic of a very kind of constricted state of being or consciousness of just being very kind of tied up in maybe one's mind or in one's beliefs. And the story is about the journey to freedom, to a more open sense of consciousness. And then the wandering in the desert is the it's being on the path and really not knowing what's going on. And if you actually, you know, if you look at the Torah, there's no happy ending. It's not like you get there and everyone, you know, you get to the land of milk and honey and then things are all good. As we can see today in the Middle East, things are not all good. Yeah. And so on some level, that's symbolic of just it's always happening. It is there's no end to the journey, which is either very depressing or
beautiful.
Yeah, depends on where you are that day.
And that's how that came up, because I was telling you what I was going through and I was like, you know, I'm feeling very lost. I don't know what's up, what's down, what's left or right. And I think I did left, and I just totally did the wrong hands for that, which is perfect.
Well, you're still lost.
exactly.
Yeah, you don't even know where the fuck's going on right
but
now.
But then, yeah, it's just so funny. You like mentioned that story, and I was like, oh, I never even knew that story about Moses leading the Jews through Egypt was about that, you know,
it
our
could
own
be from
spiritual
that level.
Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the journey, there's no end to the journey. So that's very disappointing for people who are suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Can you imagine, though?
What do you mean?
You kill yourself, you get to the other side, and they're like, okay, you get a new life. And they're like, God damn it! You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you're trying to, like, end it.
Right.
Like, jump off.
Yeah.
Turn out the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out
but I think the way
back on.
Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, but,
but I don't think they're always in the desert. I think, because you were saying something like, the way out of the desert, it's the desert's a type of consciousness. So the way out of the desert is, the way out of the desert is... kind of coming home within yourself. That's where home really is. It's, you know.
Yeah, I think when I brought up the entire metaphor of the desert, it was more to say that it is okay to feel lost. That, you know, there are many mind states that when we feel them, we just want to do whatever we can to kind of solidify and push them away, be it confusion or being lost or anxiety or whatever. And to actually allow for whatever experience we're having, I think, is what real self-kindness is.
To let yourself be lost.
Yeah, exactly. And this is coming from someone who, like, I'm just learning to do it, and it is really, really fucking hard. So,
yeah.
So, do people in your spiritual school, or do a lot of them, are a lot of them sober?
I think all of them.
I think so, yeah. There are several people, like AA...
Yeah, a lot of them have been through AA or some kind of anonymous program, whatever their addiction was.
Right.
It would be very hard to do the work not yet being sober. You can, you know, and in many ways, I think I'm overcoming relationship and love addiction while being in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that, we're like some of the youngest in the class.
Yeah.
When you say the average program, age, you're talking about the spiritual school. You're
not it's a 4-year. Yeah, yeah. Our school's a 4-year program.
Right, but sometimes people refer to like 12-step programs.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
you know, our school. Yeah. So, but it's like the most intense. I think it's the most intense work. I don't know how you feel exactly about the school.
It depends on the day and the week, and I think the school offers tools to open yourself. And then some days when things come up for me that are really, really scary, it's incredibly intense. And then when things aren't really happening, I'm bored and I don't think it's working. So
that's how I feel about therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going, once, like, I was over, like, the huge hump in therapy, I remember saying to my therapist...
What do you mean by huge hump?
Well, like, I was in a horrible relationship. I got out of this relationship, but it was, like, it was with a guy who had a drinking problem, and I stayed with him because I was scared that, like, if I left him, he was going to die, and so finally, it really escalated one day, and I threw him out while he was drinking, and I was, like, my biggest fear, right? And, once we were over, it was really crazy because the day after we broke up, I got an email that said that my student loans had been paid off, like from college, right? So like it was just a weird symbolic day where I was like, oh my God, these aren't real. They're my student loans, but they're like not really my student loans. Like they're my student loans, you know? And like things started to get really, really good after, not right away, but, you know, in a after a little while. And I remember going to therapy and being like, I don't even know why I'm here. There's nothing wrong anymore. And him being like, well, that's a moment when you would want to, like, explore that. Like, there's just as much to explore in things being great than there is in things being, you know, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
If not more, because you can open yourself up to, like, why is it this way? And what, you know, we ask all these questions of ourselves and of our lives when things are really shitty. But when things are really good, we never go like, why are things going so well?
We almost just like kind of do this with our hands and go, oh, all better, fixed.
Yeah, as
you
in
know,
like, this is
do.
The way it's supposed to be. So I don't have to, you know.
Yeah. And actually, I think to that end, there's something about when we say nothing's happening and actually... You know, we take that to be as a sign of something's wrong or we're in a place of stagnation, which might very well be true. But what do we mean when we say nothing's happening? Like, what is that actual experience? Because I think if you dive beneath that and you don't just take that concept of nothing, you might actually find that, you know, maybe I'm actually like a little depressed right now or bored with this particular relationship or job. Like,
even nothing is something.
That's the point. Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Andrew because, you know, he's... okay, so I think you're brilliant, and I love how in the class, like sometimes when when people share that like you don't consider brilliant, I know that sounds mean. I just love watching his face like kind of get like ticky. You know what I mean? It's just so fun for me because I just so love your thoughts on all sorts of topics, which is why I had you on. But it's just it's such a good thing. Like he
what
gets so annoyed. Like it's similar to you. Like if there was someone in the class that you got annoyed with, I would stare at your face while they talked because you would just be like. Like you're just, you know what I mean?
I do.
So, and I get, there are certain people in the class that annoy me for different reasons. Like they have an energy that reminds me of my mom. And if they have an outburst, I'm just like, I want to be like, get out of here.
What would you say annoys you?
Sorry, that was
so real.
That was a lot. I'm sorry.
That was so real.
And my headphones blew out.
That was like a really good scream.
Yeah, that was good. That was from the depths.
Yeah, it was from
that was a little
long
embarrassing.
Ago.
That was ancient.
Yeah, no, it was great.
That was to my mother or maybe to my mother three lifetimes ago.
She really let it out. But what would you say annoys you the most in this class? Like, what kind of shenanigans?
I would say when people talk about very kind of ethereal sounding, bullshitty sounding spiritual experiences, or not even experiences, but and it's hard for like I can't quite fabricate them. But you know, if someone like if we do
because
a meditation,
they're bullshit.
Well, yeah, a lot of them are, or it's a lot of like. The mind kind of superimposing an experience in order to make it sound like you had a real experience. So like we'll finish a meditation and the teachers will, you know, they'll ask, so, you know, what was your experience? And someone will say, well, you know, I saw this golden light and then I saw a man and he was riding a horse. And I realized that...
I feel like you're describing my...
Is this yours?
Yeah, probably. Keep going. But it's fine, Andrew. Keep going.
No, but it's that stuff. And then... And actually, like even if that's what they had, I can deal with that. But it's then when they start to draw too many conclusions from it, that's what starts to annoy me. It's like, well, I was riding the horse, and then I realized, like, it's like someone else has been taking me for a ride my whole life, and I haven't been.
And I have to leave my husband.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, how did you get from point A to point Z, like just like that? That there's because we want to find answers so badly, which is completely human and completely cool. We just have to be aware of that tendency to try to come up with interpretations and try to assign meaning too quickly to the experiences we have.
That's how I feel about when people come up to me. I'm sorry. Did I just interrupt?
No.
I interrupted what you were about to say.
But you got it out. So I'm not going to interrupt you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make this quick, though. That's how I feel when somebody knows that I do astrology, right? Mm-hmm. And then they come up to me and they go like, oh, well, I had this dream the other night. Tell me what it means. Mm-hmm. And I go like, you have Google in the same hand that like you're like texting me this question with. You know what I mean? Like, so why don't you just look it up yourself and come up with your own thing?
Right.
Like, it's almost like you don't need an answer that bad. Just like observe if there's something to it. If you feel like there's something to it, there probably is. If you don't, there probably isn't.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that your whole approach to this school is exactly how probably mine would be, because I'm not the type of person like, all right, I'm going to the school, I'm just going to believe everything that everyone says and just take it in, and if I don't see anything, then nothing's working, so you kind of have to make it work with, like, really try to make, like, I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Because
that would bother me, too, because I'd be sitting there in that class, and I can get there, and someone would be like, I saw a light and a train, and I'd be like, bullshit, you know. Like, they're lying.
And
you know?
And I've expressed that to the class.
No, it's my favorite.
Because like, the very nice thing about the class is full honesty is encouraged. And so I'll just say, like, I have to say, like, that sounds like bullshit to me. And then that gives me also something to work on in my own reactivity. But it definitely pushes my buttons in that sense. But I think, you know, in terms of the Kool-Aid, I think you're entirely right that because being human is such a confusing experience, we want Kool-Aid to drink. Like, we're looking for the one that's going to make sense for us.
Yeah.
And so, which is fine. Like, that's so natural. But it's so important to be aware of that so that we don't drink the Kool-Aid without it being our own Kool-Aid,
right.
So to speak.
And people just want to be a part of a team. Like, they just want to be, you know, accepted into some club or some shit. So if someone's in that class,
this
like,
is a cult.
I want to be
a full on cult.
Yeah, right. It's like, I want to be one of those people that has one of these, you know, revelations or whatever. So they will go out of their way to try to have one. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know shit about the school, but I'm assuming that's not the way you're going to get there. You just kind of have to let it happen and really let yourself, you know.
Totally.
That sounds
yeah.
like acting class, too. I mean, if you've taken an acting class, like, all through college, you know, we'd do these exercises where you had to be a fucking dinosaur, right? And they would walk you through the dinosaur's whole life, right?
Yeah.
And some people have these experiences where they grew and they changed and they watched their loved one die and then they ate their loved one as a dinosaur. That's, you know what I mean? And it's like, and for them, it's fucking real. And then, like, and I've literally had that experience where I'm sitting there and I'm like, I just described to you something that I literally did in acting class where I was like a dinosaur. My husband dinosaur died. I ate him. It was like a fucking
that
spiritual
was you?
Thing. Yeah. And then, and then
of course
we did,
it's you who ate her husband.
Of course. You know, but it was a sacrifice that I was willing to make for us both. You know what I mean? So that he would always
no,
be a
I'm
part of
board.
Me.
Wow.
But okay. So I committed
how
to that.
Nice.
Yes.
But then the next time we did a class like that, I was like, yeah, I felt nothing. You know what I mean? And I would watch people go through the exercise going like, they're not feeling shit. You know what I mean? And yeah. they would fabricate these things.
And sometimes we're not even 100% aware when we're making it up too. Yeah. You know, and it's very interesting in that.
But that's
regard.
What's interesting is like you get, and I'm not saying I don't get triggered by that or other stuff, but it's like you get triggered when someone, which is what we were talking about the last time, are almost unconsciously getting lost in their story.
Yes, that really brings me back to the room. And
are you a Taurus?
No.
A Gemini?
No.
Okay,
oh.
Forget it. I can't.
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, I was gonna fucking say shit. Something else.
Wow.
I was gonna guess Scorpio. And like be like, see, I have a power.
Yeah, very good.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you do have psychic abilities, Joe, but that's fine.
I'd be shocked.
Can I tell you, like, Scorpios are my favorite people.
Well, thank you.
They really are. They're the best people because they're so dark. They really, no, and they will call bullshit on anything that, like, they see as bullshit. They'll be like, no, that's not true. It's not genuine. I see it, and I just want you to know I know it's not true. Like, they know the difference between a truth and a lie.
Yeah. That reminds me of there was a girl a while ago who I was having like an on and off thing with, and she at a certain point she was just like, we can just be friends. Like, I'm glad like we hooked up and now we got that out of our system and we're done. And I just looked at her, I'm like, no, like you're actually not saying a true thing right now. Like,
yeah.
Like if it were, and this isn't just me being arrogant right now, because there are plenty of women who have had enough and that's fine. But like in this particular situation, it for better or worse, there is a sense of whether or not someone is being truthful or not. I feel like such a douche for saying that. Like, there was a girl who like said she didn't want to hook up with me, and I'm like, you must
be
wrong.
You're wrong. How could you? You're wrong. This is just a phase.
You want it. Trust me.
Well, no, but you're
who
saying,
doesn't want this?
But you're saying that she was wrong when she was like, I'm glad this happened, and I've had a good time. And you're like, yeah, but that's not
but
true because you're ending it.
She's basically saying that like it was it's over, and we got it out of our systems when it was very clear that
it wasn't
not
out
of
systems.
Our systems. And then future the future show that it was not out of our systems.
What was her sign?
She wanted more of that dick.
Okay.
You know what? I should have known he was a Scorpio when I started, when I was like, how much money do you make? And he was like, yeah, I'm glad that you don't know. Or he was like, I'm happy that you don't know what anything about me.
Yeah.
That's like, Scorpios will ask you, why don't you talk to your father anymore? How come your whole family's dead? And then you'll be like, so how was your day today? And Whoa. They're like, why the Inquisition? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty dead on, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a bunch of heavy questions there. Why is your whole family dead? Can you imagine asking someone that? Why is your whole family? What happened there? What's the deal with your whole dead family? I don't understand why.
Saying it so harshly. Yo, that family that's dead of yours? What's up?
Like, not how. Like, why? Are they dead? Why'd they do that?
Not how did they die. Just like, why are they dead?
What happened? She's like, why did they do that? I don't understand.
Can I tell you? So Andrew, by the way, is a big fan of Five Rhythms. He goes there regularly. And that's the dance class I've been telling you about that I would love to get you to, but you would freak the fuck out.
I wouldn't freak out. I would just, it would be a lot.
I'd be like,
I brought Rosebud.
To which night? Was it
Friday night?
Uh-huh.
She was amazing, but like it was very hard actually for me to straddle both of the worlds because she's a great dancer and into spirituality. But mm-hmm. she was like, everyone starts moving, and the first thing she looks at me is, "What'd you say?" You're like,
"There are so many weird people."
Yeah, there are.
And
it's a weird concept.
But it's like, and a lot of these people
but
are
these
definitely
people are weird.
Of course, but that's what I mean. It's like
I'm saying.
Listen, a certain kind of person will find out that all this shit exists. You know what I mean? Like the spiritual stuff. A certain kind of person will do that. How many of those are like level-headed where they won't just dive into the world and suddenly be this fucking person who hovers above a pillow or whatever? And you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of people who do these certain things that are, you know, just a little off.
Yes.
You're not grounded. They're too off in the sky.
Like, I'm talking like covered in cat hair weird. You know what I mean?
Oh, you saw the cat hair girl?
I don't know if I saw her, but I felt her.
Yeah.
Covered in cat hair.
She's great.
I mean, by the end of the night.
Did you say there was a guy who was like painted gold or something?
No, that's a different. That's
the
Get
Down.
I apologize.
Okay, the
I've never gone. I've wanted to go.
Guys, we're going to the Get Down. You're going to have to take off.
I'll go to the Get Down.
Isn't it happening like tomorrow?
Shut up.
No.
Okay.
It's not.
If it's, I'll go. I'm totally down.
Okay. I can't go to the next one because I have my show with Nathan. The next one, please, can we all go together? I would love for you to go. No pressure.
What is the
Joe.
Get Down? I don't have to paint myself.
It's
gold,
in Manhattan.
So.
What?
Do I have to paint myself?
No,
gold?
You can just go in normal clothes. You dance.
Well, I.
We're
so
going.
It's like Five Rhythms, kind of.
Yeah, but it's more like
cool people.
Yeah.
Wait, it's like
it's not the weird people. It's the cool
like,
people.
It's not,
wait, so then
it's
what
more
is
like
it?
Like a DJ. Like there's a DJ and you're just
so
dancing.
It's a club.
Yeah, but it's like 7 to 10, and it's about conscious dancing. It's like dancing for the fun of it. It's not to
it's
get wasted or
like
shove your half semi-hard dick into a girl's ass.
Oh, not my.
Although that has happened during Five Rhythm.
I love that. I love that you said half
there's
semi-hard.
One, wait, there's one guy
half semi
in the
like
Five Rhythms. I'm sure you know who this is. I won't describe him. Mm-hmm. Who literally every 5 minutes is doing this energy dance with another woman, mm-hmm. and they're all up on each other and feeling each other. And at first, I almost felt guilty that I'm not that person. And then I was like, I don't ever want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like all up in anyone's space. Where are your boundaries, people?
See,
are you
I don't have that like ability to be able to enjoy myself when something so great is happening so close. I just have to
she
watch.
She was like staring. Like
yeah,
staring.
I wouldn't be able to do anything.
I was like, are they going to fuck?
I can't walk. I can't really
I've
multitask.
That too.
I can't walk and text or walk and drink. I can't do any of that. And I can't be in that room with that going on and do anything else.
It's pretty hard sometimes. I described the one situation where there was a guy doing ballet moves and his girl wasn't dancing and she was just staring at him like, I'm going to do my voice again, where she's like, get my ballerina boyfriend. And he was just doing pliés around her and like, and she was like, and just, it was the weirdest. I couldn't focus because I was staring at them. But,
I don't think we've really pitched Five Rhythms very well to the audience.
It's amazing. No, okay. Why don't you describe Five Rhythms?
No, not that that was the purpose of this at all, but it just, between what's gone on from the last 5 minutes, people are like, why would anyone go to this thing?
Because it's amazing in
it's
the
a
sense
cool thing.
Of, yeah, because they take you through five rhythms for 2 hours or an hour and a half, and it's about letting your body just move and be free. And I love that.
Yeah, because I mean, to that end, like, it turns out bodies just like to move, and when they're given permission to, they will. But then, yeah, it takes a certain type of person to go, and you know, it's a crowd. But I would recommend it.
It's great.
Yeah. And then, I wouldn't not recommend it. I mean, I would say that I will not be going back. Okay, I'll say that.
You said you would.
I know, but I've rethought that, and I, you know what? I said I would go again after we walked out, but then I gave it 24 hours, and I was like, well, okay, not going. But I'm definitely going to the Get Down.
Yes.
But I just,
and you'll both love the Get Down.
Here was the thing is that I really did enjoy Five Rhythms. Like, by the end of it, when we started getting goofy, I just couldn't be silly there. And I didn't like that I couldn't be silly.
Like, she was doing a fake hump dance move and I was fake eating her cum, her semen.
Oh.
I was like this, and she was like, ah, and it was hilarious. But it didn't feel like that was okay.
It felt like
there.
We could get kicked out. At the Get Down, you can do that 100%. Like, you could just.
What is the difference funny, between not the two be places?
What I'm saying is, like, you should be able to fuck in a church. You know what I'm saying?
Why is that? Why?
Because it's beautiful and it's spiritual. So, like,
wait,
why
who's stopping
so you mean
you
the
from
right kind of
church?
You mean like make love?
Like, the right kind of church lets you fuck in the pew, in the what's it called? The,
yeah, I think
the
a pew sounds
right. Pews, yeah.
Like during a
I was
going
to say pubes.
I was going to say during a session. That's what I was going to say.
A session.
During a session. No, but like during
I hear
mass.
What you're saying though. Everything can be sacred.
Everything can be sacred.
Like you fake humping dance moves and me fake eating your semen.
Yeah, that was
but
a sacred.
But you weren't kicked out though, right?
No,
but
it was just this feeling of like one girl came up to me and I literally, you know when you're supposed to pair up with somebody?
Yeah.
And like, she came up to me and like, I was like dancing with her. I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. She totally fucking turned around and ditched me in the middle of like our mirroring
thing.
She
didn't feel your
she was
fucking
just like,
energy. She's like, I'm out.
Nope. And I was like, okay. And I turn around and Kate is just staring at me and I was like, she just left.
I got to witness the whole thing and I was like.
How big are these places? And is it complete
darkness? It's in a big ballet studio.
Yeah. It was on Fridays, there's normally like 60 people there-ish.
Yeah.
60 or 70.
So the difference is Five Rhythms.
Studio.
They have like a much like softer woman who's playing music and saying, now go, and the first rhythm is flow and feel in your bodies. And it's like that.
It's
the Get
really
Down,
awful.
It's like DJ. the Get Down is like DJ. No one really talking. It's just like music and you're just dancing.
Yeah.
You're just
that
like,
great.
Yeah, I don't need somebody to tell me how to dance or where to dance. You know what I mean? Or like who to mirror.
She's upset by that, and that's why she won't be going back.
I was very upset.
She said
that.
She'd go back if some of our comedian friends went, just to make it into a fucking shit show. And I'm like, we just won't. Like, I'll go again, but not with Rosebud.
No,
the Get Down, though. Honestly, the Get Down. After going there with Rosebud, it did make me realize how much more things like the Get Down are my energy of just being free, but also letting myself be goofy. Or, and actually, Rosebud and I want to start our own dance party.
Yeah,
called Thunderbuds and Hurricanes Dance Party. Because she's a thunderstorm and I'm a hurricane.
That's right.
Thunderbud Hurricane.
Okay.
You would come, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell
gonna
you how to
he's
going to
be the
dance.
One conducting the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Hold on. Okay. We need to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Joe List, and that's
Mark Norman here.
From Tuesdays with Stories, check out our podcast. Tell them why, Mark.
You're going to love it. It's nothing but laughs, jokes, stories from the road, vagina, and that guy.
Yeah, you're getting laid. We're being silly. Check it out. Find new and archived episodes of Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Okay, so I have one question for, is it Andrew?
Andrew, yes.
Okay. Middle of November?
Yeah.
Okay.
18th.
November 18th.
Oh, you're talking about his birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell's going on?
I wanted
on?
To know, because he's not an October Scorpio. I can tell that.
Obviously.
Like, you would be a mess.
He looks like a mess to me.
Let me
tell
you,
thank
no,
you, Joe.
He's got it together. He's got it together for a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. I know a Scorpio and October Scorpio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anyone's sign.
October
I don't know
Scorpios
anyone.
Have like a fucking
you're Pisces,
hive of bees
right?
in their
yeah.
stomach.
He's
yeah,
Pisces?
He's Pisces. What are you, 13th?
No.
What's your Pisces? What's your date?
You got it.
I did?
No. I'm saying you got this.
Oh, stop. Joe.
Don't make me do that.
It's the 25th.
25th?
Yeah.
So you're on the kind of cusp.
I'm a cusp, yeah.
And she's the 27th of March, right?
It's all coming together.
Okay, all right. I get it.
I'm a cusp, Pisces.
Cusper. Cuspish.
Yeah. I'm on the cusp.
I'm March 16th, so I'm middle of March.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to read an email.
I really don't know what's going on. My whole brain hurts.
Really?
We went pretty deep today.
Do we want to go back to conducting questions?
No. I want to. Okay. Ready? This is from Evan, okay? Ooh. This is an email.
Yep.
Can you all hear me, by the way? Because my headphones are going in and out. Okay. Let me start by saying that most of my dreams are lucid dreams.
Oh, boy.
I've been to a world of dragons and other beasts.
There we go.
There are a few other realms I've been, but those are a story for another time. The first time I remember being there was 2 years ago. I was laying in the grass when I opened my eyes and I saw a dragon's face above me. And then I heard it say, "You're back." Then I freaked out and woke up. Over the next 2 years, I found the dragon's name in our language is Dedrag. And I was there many times as a kid. The first time was the day after my grandpa's funeral. I apparently told him that my psychiatrist said you aren't real, and that was the last time I was there. Okay, wait, I'm going to start off
by
saying,
who'd he tell?
Dragons are real.
Who did he say it wasn't real?
His psychiatrist said that's not real. And since then, he hasn't been back to the land where the dragons are.
Oh, well.
Okay, can I just say there was no question?
I'm not even sure.
I just wanted to read that.
No, but...
Okay, Jesus. I'll ask a question. How do you guys feel about dragons?
I've never seen a dragon.
Or how do you feel about,
I barely, like, have dreams that I can remember that are, like, awesome. Usually my dreams are, like, boring things that happen.
Open up already, Joe.
I don't know, man. Like, I've had cool dreams before, but sometimes I have dreams and it's just like, oh, I was at a party and you were there and I said some shit to you and it's weird.
What do you say?
I don't fucking know.
I had a dream the other night that my ex-boyfriend was chasing me through this hospital.
See, I don't have
shit. And
I was
trying
to
put a restraining order on him, but
as you were running away.
Yeah, but I couldn't because he was a zombie and they didn't have records on him. Because this was the guy with the drinking problem, and when he drank, he looked like a zombie.
Mm. Well, okay. Here, so scary. I watched a documentary last night. I'm going to try to get this guy on here, called Wake Up, where there was this like typical dude, wasn't into spirituality. He had an event happen, and suddenly he could see the spiritual world, and it freaked him out, and his girlfriend. He was seeing like demons and angels and auras, and, you know, the documentary is amazing. I'd recommend it for everyone. It's called Wake Up.
Wake Up.
Anyway... So I believe that these other realms are real. But once again, I have a tendency where I could drink the Kool-Aid maybe a little too quickly and be like, oh, dragon's real. You know, I do believe dragons are real. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like if this guy's been to a world where he lucid dreams and has seen dragons, I think there's a good chance he's been with dragons.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
I don't even know how to answer.
It's interesting that he went to his psychiatrist and he was like, dragons aren't real. And he's like, I can't go back now. Like, who's your psychiatrist? Like, why?
Well, I think most psychiatrists or most people in the world would say, like, no, that's your imagination. Dragons
aren't
real.
No, I know. But I mean, like, it's interesting how much authority he's handed over to his psychiatrist by just being like, okay.
Unless there was medication involved, which we don't necessarily know.
Yeah. Which pretty much ends all creativity.
It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real. You're like, well, there goes that.
In the documentary, the girlfriend, she said that when she found out Santa Claus wasn't real, all of the magic for her died. And that's why I actually hate lying.
Would she not get gifts? It's the magic right there.
Ugh. That's why. That's why I hate lying to kids about things like that, because there's so much magic. You don't need to lie. You could actually just tap into the real magic. And Shane still believes in Santa Claus, and it hurts my soul because I want to tell him it's not true.
Dude,
but Jason would kill me.
I believed in Santa Claus till...
How old?
I want to say...
I was way too old.
I was old, man. Like 11?
Wow.
Yeah, I was like 10.
10? Yeah. I'm aww, ballparking it, but...
That's beautiful.
I like kind of knew, but like, you know? But you know, you're like, you're just holding on. You're like, I just, you know.
Yeah.
But...
Talk about,
know,
like,
man,
your structure.
But
reality
I did. I did in high school. I wrote a paper on how Santa Claus is real because he is in all of us. And
nice.
All giving.
That was your high school paper? What fucking high school did you go to? In Queens?
Yeah. I was sent to a Catholic.
But
high
Joe,
school.
What does that mean? Santa Claus is in all of us.
Oh, you were in a
like,
Catholic.
I just meant like.
You know, the whole point is like, yeah, the giving nature and like you're giving to your kids and like everyone is just giving each other gifts the entire fucking holiday.
The spirit of St. Nicholas.
Huh? Yeah. So it's like, you know, technically.
He's still alive.
That's what my mom had to tell me after I made her tell me that Santa wasn't real. And then I had a full breakdown when she finally was like, all right, he's not real. And my I was parents like, you lied to me.
To my defense, right, since I was like found out late, my parents went super hard for Christmas. Like, I remember one year, my dad, like, that's the only thing he, like, you would think that's the only thing that he wanted for us to believe in Santa Claus, right? There was one year that we came downstairs. We came downstairs, right? This was before the shit hit the fan. But we came downstairs, and the entire living room was covered with this fucking pixie dust shit. And there was boot marks walking out the front door.
My right? dad used to tell
so
us.
So we were
to
like, oh my, you, that's his boots. You know, Santa Claus comes through the chimney, whatever. I don't have a chimney, but apparently Santa Claus is in our fucking front door. He's walking in and out of that place.
So he did a whole production. For
yeah.
You.
And he's like, I, if I could go back, I would never do that ever again. He's like, I was picking up that pixie dust shit for years.
My dad swear told to us that we had to leave whiskey out for Santa because it kept him warm.
I can't.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Oof. We didn't have Santa Claus in our Jewish household, but my parents did try to do the tooth fairy bit. And when
tooth fairy bit.
Can't yeah, do it.
When I lost my first tooth, I told them, "I don't take my tooth because there's no tooth fairy." And they said, "Okay." And then I woke up the next morning and there was a dollar bill where my tooth was, and I went to my parents and I demanded my tooth back at like the age of six. And I didn't keep the money. I said, "Take your money, I want the tooth." And you're I now have all the teeth. That's a creepy end to the story.
I so wish that you were going to say so that you had the jar. Teeth like covered in gold on a chain.
On a chain that I wear.
Like,
I'm wearing it right now.
All my childhood
teeth represents,
are on a gold chain.
That represents like the staunch
he has it,
cage.
Like, actually,
like,
my baton is made out of the teeth.
All right? I knew. I was not fooled.
I will not drink the Kool-Aid. You wear it to class.
Yeah, exactly.
These are my teeth.
See, that's a Scorpio kid. Right there.
My sister, I don't know what the fuck she... Her birthday is May 6th.
She's I don't know, a Taurus.
Okay. She was one of those people. Like, my mom, she was like, at a young age, I want to say 4. Ma, Santa Claus isn't real. She's like, no, but Ma, please. He's not. Like, it's fine. Whatever. I'm not going to say anything to my brothers, but, you know, whatever. Like, she was just... A bitch. God damn it. Like, she was just like...
No, I was the girl in the neighborhood because I was the Jew. So I was like, guys.
You're the asshole?
I said something like, I think I was telling them Jesus wasn't real. Uh-huh. I was like, Jesus isn't real. That's like believing in Santa Claus. And they're like, we all believe in Santa Claus. I was like, you got a lot of problems.
You're like, first
and now, of course, I'm all about Jesus. You know, yeah. I think he's an ascended master. He's someone I definitely connect to during my tarot card readings. So I'm a big fan.
What about Santa?
Big fan of Jesus.
Well, after you convinced me, Santa lives within all of us.
It does.
I don't need a thesis to believe that.
Wish I could find
I don't need your high school paper.
It's a lovely paper. That's the only thing I could do.
Do you remember what you got on the paper?
Oh, I've never gotten like a even like a like all my papers that I've ever written are like amazing. Like, not like amazing, they're good, like they get good grades.
That's
like they
Andrew,
probably suck
like
now.
You're not done with me. Nice try.
No, but like I was always like a good writer. Like I could write essays. Like whenever we had to write an essay for a class, I'm like, oh, I'm doing that. Like in the one of my classes in high school is like, you know, you could do there was like these four projects that you could do throughout the semester or something, or you can write one like 10-page paper. I was like, I'm taking the paper. And I wrote the paper, I did well on it, like that was the only thing. Lab reports, never got over a 60 on those. So can't write those. Fuck those up.
Yeah, I would fail every math test, every science test. But if you gave me a paper to bullshit, I could do that.
I could bullshit for decades.
Shane brings home his homework. I feel lame saying this because it is a joke, everyone, that I use on stage. But like he was trying to have me help him with consonants. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't fucking know what a consonant is. And he's like... He's like, do you know what a continent is? Like an asshole. And I was like, I'm not an idiot, Shane. But I was trying to convince him that you can be a fully functioning adult and not know what a continent is. I was like, they need to give you homework that like I can relate to.
Yeah.
Okay? Like mommy can help you to tell you how to get into a relationship with an unavailable man. Okay?
Did you see fucking Common Core? You know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. So I saw a video of this guy who was, or a woman, I don't know. It was a person. I know that. They were explaining how Common Core works with like simple multiplication, right? Whatever. And it was like, whatever it was, 8 times 4. And then they have this whole long division style way of breaking down why 8 times 4 is 32. I'm like, just know your fucking times tables, kids.
Another story. This really happened. Shane goes, I need help with math. Mom, 58 plus 58. And I started trying to do it. I was like, 8 plus 8, 6. And then I was like, no. Shane, we have calculators. Okay. I was like, we don't need to do this anymore. Okay? And he's so cute. He goes, what about 58 donuts plus 58 donuts? Trying to get me excited. And I was like, diabetes. Okay? We're not doing this. I get so emotional about homework.
My brother is like, I can't.
He's a math whiz, right?
I can do, yeah, incredible. Like, it's really insane. Like, I can barely do, like, in my head, I can barely do math. Like, usually, I have to write everything down. You know what I mean? Like, simple stuff I can do, whatever, but
yeah,
you can ask this kid, like, four-digit addition and subtraction. Like,
That's my dad.
He knows it within 5 seconds.
My dad's a math professor.
It's insane. He's like, he has all these fucking shortcuts. He's like, no, all you got to do is this. Makes me feel like an asshole. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm writing it down. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah, and I know, Shane has all these methods now. Like, no, you got to put the number on the opposite side of the page to add it. And then you put it over. I'm just like, no.
I don't like it. I'm not into it.
Or you could just burn your homework.
Yeah, exactly. But he's such a good kid. He's like, Mom, we have to stay grounded. We have to work with the system, Mom.
I couldn't. I was one of those kids who couldn't take tests either. Couldn't do it.
Did you get good grades?
I did.
Great grades.
Of course, Andrew, of course, probably straight A.
You got good grades, well. Right?
Yeah.
I used to. I would get like any, it would depend, like science, I barely pass every single science I've ever taken, except earth science. I got a 98.
I wish science classes were more fun. Like if they were talking about the cosmos and like that, like consciousness, I would have been zoned in.
It's,
you know,
too much.
The way they teach it, it's like Snorville Nation.
I don't even know. The whole thing was
Snorville Nation.
Snorville Nation Station, not a place I want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Snorville sounds like a town, but you made it a nation.
Ooh.
What'd you just say? Snorville Station.
Snorville Nation Station. I realize I am an art teacher deep in my heart. You know, I'm a comedian, but that art teacher will never die. Oh, I taught an art lesson to Shane's class yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I taught them how to draw monsters, and I definitely went way too deep than I should have.
Oh, I cannot picture you doing this.
I was like,
this.
We all have
demons
places
in you.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, we all have places in ourselves.
Everyone raise your hand if your parents are divorced. All right, let's draw this demon.
I was like, what's the definition of a monster? Something that frightens or scares you. I was like, I think we're scared of things that we have yet to know about, probably within ourselves. And I'm like, the teacher was like, oh man. Oh. Like, you could tell she was like, what's happening?
Kate just starts going into it like, I was in a bad relationship, so I know monsters. I can't even picture you.
I thought my ex-husband was the monster, but guess what? Yeah. I was running from my own.
Yeah. My monster
guys,
asked
I haven't
me
shaved
for
in a while, guys. This is what I'm saying. I can't even picture you in a fucking classroom with kids.
Sometimes the horns are there, but you don't see them, you know, and you end up putting on a wedding dress and marrying the guy with the horns. That's okay. It's okay. No, I told them all about how we all have like superpowers within us that have yet to be tapped into. It was really cute. Like one of the boys, while he was drawing, he's like, this was the best hour of my life.
No, oh my I've God, never had any of that. My art teacher was like, dude, trace your fucking hand and put a feather on it. It's a turkey.
No, I went in. And at the end, I was like, follow me on Twitter at the Kate Wolf invasion of privacy. Y'all really like it. So I think our fourth grade audience is going to be spiking this week.
That's great. That's great. Man. I'm glad we talked about dicks so much.
Right? Yeah. Well, I feel like they need to know.
Right off the top. With the
I don't
dick
even
talk.
Remember the dick talk. I mean, it's just always
dicks and W-2s.
We talked about...
Oh, dicks and W-2s. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, there's the name for this.
Dicks and W-2s. I like that.
Yeah, it was really fun. And Shane's cute little face was staring at me the entire time, just like, that's my mommy. And it just made me so happy. And he wears his shirts inside out half the time. And I don't know if it's because he's just not paying attention or because he's owning the shit out of being different.
Do you dress him or is that his...
No, it's his thing.
Okay. And I went to his class. One part of you goes, what's up, bud? That's inside out.
I did. I said, Shane, your shirts... Because a part of me gets ashamed, like they're going to think I'm a bad mom. And he just goes, I know. And I go, I literally said to him, why do you do that? And he goes, because I can. And I was like, whoa.
I love Shane so
Well, now
much.
I'm down.
That's not what my
now
parents
I'm
would
down.
Have done. My parents would be like, I don't give a fuck what you can do. Fucking put it in back on the right side.
It looks like your family was more in the conformity way of thinking.
No.
And I like Shane challenging norms.
Oh.
Change the system, Shane.
Shane is one of my favorite
time,
kids in the world.
My brother wore an Ultimate Warrior shirt on picture day. Do you know who the Ultimate Warrior is?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He
a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler.
Very
he wore
good.
An Ultimate Warrior shirt. It was glow in the dark. It was black, and it was just the guy and all the fucking feathers and shit.
I can see your emotional boner as you talk about
it
this.
It was hilarious because I get to come home, and then I know he's about to be in trouble, you know? But he doesn't know that. So I'm sitting there, and then I'm just like, sitting there, and my fucking mom's like, what are you wearing? Did you wear that to school? And he's like, yeah. Like, he has no idea. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah. And my dad's on the couch like, he knows he's about to be in trouble too because my mom went, like, left before he did. And she's like, how the fuck can you let him? No, actually, they never cursed him.
I'm all about kids being free, wearing whatever they want. When I was a little girl, I had black patent leather shoes, purple socks. I wore bracelets up to my elbow. Be free, everyone. We're going to dress up for Unicorn Tits, our show.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Side note, hate when people have twins and dress them the exact same. Hate it.
I'm not into it.
God.
Let them have their own identity.
Or just like,
or like siblings.
Just buy different color. Just anything.
Very oppressive.
It's terrible. Hey, guess what? You're both the same. You're not a different person. Both the same. You look the same. Everyone thinks you're the same, so now you are the same. That's the dumbest thing ever. I hate that. One of my pet peeves, I just realized.
You know, single white female was a twin.
Oh, okay. Rosebud just watched the movie, rewatched Single White Female.
I've never heard of this.
I don't know what it is.
Is this a documentary about a person?
It's not a documentary.
Haven't seen Single White Female with Jennifer Jason Leigh and what's her face?
I wish I knew who that was.
No.
It's about a girl who becomes obsessed with a friend, in quotes.
Right. And she tries to, she has a bunch of twin issues. Okay.
She's a twin?
She was a twin.
Right.
But she was the ugly one out of the identical twins. She's like, you know, twins are never really identical. There's one who's ugly. And she has to do all the work.
Well, if she's ugly, the other one is most likely ugly. I really doubt that they, you know, straddle the line of good looking and
one
ugly.
One is slightly ugly.
It can happen. But Rosebud, I talked to her yesterday, and she literally goes, I just watched Single White Female, and it made me appreciate our friendship. And I was like, that is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever heard. She basically said, thank you for not being a serial killer.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, you're welcome.
I just wanted to thank her. Personally.
Okay.
Attitude of gratitude. You know?
Was that a question? Am I supposed to answer?
No, it's more of a slogan.
Right. Never heard of that one either. A single white female. So I have to write. I have to watch that and
wake up.
Wake up.
It's
I thought
so
of
good.
Go crazy. I don't know why that was the title.
I understand
it's the
why.
Same.
It's the same thing, but
I was like,
a
you
little
go
different.
Yeah. I'm gonna text you. What's the name of that thing? Go crazy. I'm just fucking it up. Sorry. Wake up and single white female.
Wake up and go crazy.
Two totally different vibes, but yeah.
Yeah, totally different.
By the way, I want to give a shout out. I gave a tarot card reading to a fan, Jerwin, and there was a fairy for real. There was like this shooting star-like thing on his right shoulder that would come and then it would go and it would come.
What
and
do you mean
go.
On his right shoulder?
It was like above his shoulder. I'm trying to.
Were you meeting him in person?
No, it was on
Skype.
Skype. And it would be like, at first, without even seeing it, I sensed something there, which that's actually happening more and more. But I was like, oh, I'm sensing something. And then all of a sudden, this like, it was like a shooting star. Like, it was insane. I've never seen anything like it. What?
I saw that last night.
Did you really?
I shit you not, I saw that last night. Oh my God. We'll talk about this after. But
where did you see that?
I was in my kitchen, and I was cleaning up, and my boyfriend... he turned off the lights and like a few minutes went by and I was still cleaning and I was like just cleaning in the dark. And then all of a sudden I saw this like white thing that went like, psh,
and like it was like that. Bright. It was like it's like a mini shooting star.
It wasn't that bright for me. I was just kind of what is that? And then I saw it again. And then
it loses credibility.
And then does it?
Sorry.
Maybe it was lighter for you, and by the time it got there,
mine was like a bright,
the same level of brightness.
I swear to God, it was like, okay, whatever, don't drink the Kool-Aid, Andrew Resnick. It was like this bright shooting star-like thing, and then it would go, and then it would come back, and it was insane. But what's funny is we had just started talking about how he always felt like he had a connection to angels and fairies. And then literally that started happening, and I was just like, this is awesome.
Was he aware of it, or?
No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't aware of it. And I tried to be professional, and then I'd be like, yo, there is a fairy on your shoulder. And he'd be like, and I was like, oh, keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going. Tell me what you're saying. And then I'd see it again, and I'd be like, Like, I was so excited. It was crazy. It was blowing my mind. Like, it looked supernatural.
Do you ever videotape your sessions or have them videotape them?
I don't, because it's so personal and they're telling me a lot.
Right. That would be weird if you did. But do they do that?
I've had a couple, but they've had to ask before. So right. I know.
Well, no, I'm just curious if he was videotaping it so then we could go to the tape.
Oh, gosh. I wish. There was another one I think I said on here where my screen, like in the bottom corner, kept turning rainbow colors as if there was like a disco changing light. And then it would stop and then it would start. And it was like, that was another time where I was like, this is blowing my mind.
Let me ask you this. Does it remove the credibility of the fairy that I saw if I turned on the lights and there was a cockroach in my kitchen?
I don't think cockroaches do that.
I mean, there was a cockroach like right where I saw the fairy.
Oh, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She goes, oh, all right. Yeah, never mind. Fuck.
No, mine though, I'm telling you, mine was a fucking thing. Like it was crazy. I was so into it. Anyway, just wanted to say that. Give that
That's
a shout out.
Cool.
It was so cool. But I'm seeing things like, it's funny.
I've never had that happen to me.
Well, you have yet to open up to this stuff.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's not surprising.
Yeah. It's going to happen. I think it is.
Sorry.
Faith.
I'm just a cusp Pisces, and that's all I'll ever be.
For what it's worth, I haven't seen any fairies yet either. And
he will, though. I have, he's a little magical being.
One day he'll be
up
there.
He's going to open up to it.
And all of a sudden,
I'll be up in on Ken Watanabe's shoulder. I will see a fairy. I will stop the show.
Yeah. His arm's going to droop down just a little bit.
And I get stopped. You're like, I just saw a fairy, guys.
He's going to see a fairy up there, and then all of a sudden the cello's going to fuck up, and then everything's going to be shit.
Damn, what was I going to say? Damn it. I was going to say something about Andrew.
He's a wizard.
I'm a magical
being.
Oh,
I know what I was going to say. You are a magical being. But this is what I was going to say is, like, what's interesting is as all this mucky, you know, uncomfortable feelings come up, which the two of you know a lot about because I call both of you within that stuff. But as this really intense pain and sadness and all these things come more to the surface, I'm also at the same time seeing the more magic in my world. So it's a really interesting thing where I'm like, I'm feeling so depressed. And I'm like, oh, look, there's like an aura thing coming out of the wall. So it's like, it's just interesting how both are kind of tied into each other. And it just goes to show you can't really get to that place within you that has all that magic and that life without going through that pain or sadness or that shit that you locked away with it. And it's just interesting how they kind of come together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's kind of hopeful. In a way, it's kind of like, hey, you're not feeling all this sadness for nothing. There's a beautiful place after you get through Egypt.
Yes. Because as we can see now with Israel, things have all worked out just well.
Ta-da! Thank you, Andrew, for keeping it real. Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, I love when he shares in class because, like, he'll be quiet and then he'll share. And it's just like he's so funny and you're just like, oh, wow.
I'm also good at sucking all of the air out of the room. And
oh, yeah, you do that too.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
With all that cynicism, you're like, yeah, I'm glad you're all feeling happy and magical, but let me bring it down a couple notches.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking at him like, just so upset. I'm like, why do you do that?
That would be the only thing that would keep me sane in that class, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I can't fully get on board with all of it. You know what I mean? I can't fully, even like Kate and I were at a party a few weeks ago and she said a plant was trying to touch me. And she was like,
oh, it wasn't.
She keeps
going. Oh, it wasn't.
No. She feels it really deep. Like she believes that this was happening. And listen, I'm not taking that away from her, but I didn't feel the same connection between me and the plant.
Yeah.
Like I was a little bit like, whoa, but people were smoking pot in the room. And I was like, maybe that's like fucking with me a little bit. But I didn't feel this like magical connection to the plant the way that I would if I was on mushrooms.
I didn't feel the connection. I saw the connection between you and the plant. I can feel it. It was literally hanging above her head, and everywhere she went, the plant would fucking follow, and it would attach to her head every time. And then I would go to do it, like put my head, and it would retract, like it would go away from me. It was insane. But it's okay. She's, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I was like, okay. You know what I mean?
You don't have to apologize for that, by the way.
Okay.
Guys, we got to wrap it up, by the way.
I hate to shut down Kate and her, you know what I mean? Because I
and
love
my
that,
magic, because I love it's
that
real.
I love that she was like willing to go there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Because I think that's beautiful. I also think that you need someone who's like, I'm not.
Yeah, but I am grounded. That's the thing, though, in that. Like, it's not like I'm out dancing with the fairies and not having my connection to Earth. Like, there's a reason why I'm a comic and friends with people, like, who are so cynical.
Right.
That stuff. I'm serious, though. Like, and I used to be an atheist. So that stuff I see and feel, it's not me just being like, there's a plant or, like, there's a fairy. Like, it's for real.
Yeah.
And like, I've been with other people who can feel things. Like, I was with my friends, you know, Molly and Marco a couple weeks ago, and I'm talking to Marco and I'm like, dude, and I you know, he saw my eyes go to this thing on his shoulder, this like spirit thing. And he goes, I know, I can feel it too. I don't want to talk about it. So it's a thing that I'm opening up
to. That's cool.
So there we go. And if you want a tarot card reading from a girl who can see fairies, kwolf27@gmail.com, $50.
She won't use that voice when she does the reading.
The whole time, I'm gonna be like, let me tell you about how to get wholeness. Anyway, okay, so Rosebud, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rosebud Baker and Instagram at Rosebud Baker. And come to me and Kate's show, Unicorn Tits, May 22nd at New York Comedy Club, 7 p.m., promo code TITS.
Yeah, and eventually...
Wait, I'm sorry, what was the promo code again?
TITS.
Okay.
Damn titties.
Say it like a redneck.
Tits. And by the way, eventually I want to have a dance party, maybe even at the end of Unicorn Tits. But that's in the future.
In the future.
Okay, for me, I already said you guys can get a tarot card reading. We have a YouTube page, Invasion of Privacy. Check us out. We have full episodes on there. We have a Facebook Invasion of Privacy page. And yeah, I think I already said my Twitter name, right? At the Kate Wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm losing my mind. Anyway, Andrew? If you want people to find you.
I don't know. Come see The King and I. I'm there a lot. It's at the Vivian Beaumont Theater. We're running indefinitely as of now.
And they can flash you their tits while you're conducting, right? That's like protocol.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we have a very... lot of our crowd. my back is to the crowd, but...
Oh,
yeah.
Feel them energetically.
No, but the theater's kind of in the round, so I can see the people in the wings. And, you know, it's an older crowd, so I've definitely gotten a lot of... that so far.
Right, yeah. That's what I picture at the King and I.
At the King and I, yeah. Rodgers and Hammerstein, people just can't keep their shit together. Yeah. You know?
It's like a rave.
Kelly starts singing Hello Young Lovers and, you know, the panties are being slung.
Can you get Rosebud and I free tickets to the King and I and we'll shake things up a little bit?
We'll talk after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to find me, I'm on Twitter at Joe Santagato, and thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.